You are listening to the Accents podcast on WUKY. My name is Katerina Stoikova, and I'm your host. And this episode has been brought to you by Accents Publishing, an independent press for brilliant voices. My guest today is Terry Wallen, a nonfiction writer and a publishing expert located in California. Hi, Terry. Welcome to Accents.
Katerina, great to be here with you today.
I was wondering where I can start this conversation because I want to ask you everything, and we have a few points in common biographically and professionally. So I just thought I would start with the professional part. So what are publishers looking for in an author?
We're looking for authors that understand that they can't just ask their publisher to do everything, but they have to take action themselves and have to be doing something. I think that's one of the keys. A lot of people just think, you know, it's kind of like the Kevin Costner Field of Dreams movie, that if you build it, they will come. They think that if they publish it, people will read it. Well, that's not true, because there's over 11,000 new books that come out every day. So every author has to do their work to be telling people about their book.
If you build it, they will come. That works on the publisher's side, though, right? If you build a publishing company, the authors will come, don't you think?
Well, the authors will come, but you have to choose the right authors is part of the key, because sure, you could publish all kinds of stuff, and if you don't pick the right authors, you're not going to sell books here at the end of the day. I mean, David Hancock, our founder at Morgan James, says to me all the time that it's 80% the author and 20% the book. So that author is very important, who they are, what they're going to do, all those kinds of things.
You know, and as a publisher myself, I have found that there is some correlation between the quality of the book and how well it sells, but it's not all a matter of how great the book is. Would you agree with me on that?
Oh yeah, there's some really poor books that sell very well, and there's some really excellent books that nobody ever notices. It's really too bad.
Is it all the author, or could it sometimes be that the audience isn't ready?
Maybe the author didn't get it to the right audience. There's a lot of things that can go wrong in the publishing process. And so all the details really have to line up for a book to succeed out there.
What are agents looking for in an author?
You know, there's agents, and they're pretty much the gatekeepers a lot of times for the traditional publishers. A lot of traditional publishers won't even look at a submission unless it comes from a literary agent. So they want that literary agent to pre-screen the manuscript, make sure the pitch is right, that it's right for that publisher, all those kinds of things that an agent does. But what agents never say, and is never really told out there, is that even agents don't sell all of the books that they're pitching. So they're looking as well for the right author and the right material at the end of the day.
One of the many things that I gained from your book proposals that sell was that even if an agent wants to sign up an author, then the agent needs to sell the proposal to their colleagues at the agency.
They do. You have to sell it within the agency, and you also have to sell it to the publisher. Somebody within that publishing house has to champion your book. Otherwise, it won't go anywhere.
So there are gates after gates after gates. How do we ever get anything published?
You know, there's just a lot of stuff out there that's going to get published. I mean, that they say at any given time there's over 1 million manuscripts that are in circulation. So there's all kinds of stuff out there. It's just a big decision process for every for every person in the process, the author, the agent, the publisher, all the people in the publishing house have to figure out whether this is the right book for them at the right time.
So I have several scenarios here, and I'm hoping that you can give us the best course of action for each. So, you want to write a memoir. You are convinced that it is a great story, but you want to find a publisher before you get started. Is that even possible?
Maybe. It depends on the memoir. Yes. For a nonfiction, a lot of times, like a memoir, you can do a proposal along with a couple of really well-written chapters, and then find a publisher to publish that. But a lot of times for memoir, just like novels, the publisher would like to see the entire thing to sort of see how it all shakes out, what the language is in it, all that kind of thing.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So here's another scenario. You have written the entire memoir. You want to publish it in the best way possible. How do you get started?
Well, I think there's a number of things you can do in that area to get started. One thing is to find some beta readers or critique group or a freelance editor, somebody else to look at your material and make sure it's in the best possible shape. But also in that process, I always encourage authors to write a book proposal, no matter what kind of book they're publishing, because that proposal is essentially your business plan as far as what you're going to do as the author. So even if you self-publish at the end of the day, you still need that business plan to show why your books are unique, what the hook is, who your primary reader is, what are the competition, what are you going to do? All those kinds of things is information you need to have collected and have in a single spot, no matter how you publish.
And then how do you know if finding an agent is the right thing for you or not?
You know, often it's harder to find a good agent than it is to get published in the first place. So, it is very hard to find an agent. I've fired a few agents over the years. So, you know, you've got to find the right one that has the right connections. And, you know, ideally you meet them face to face or talk to them quite a bit on the phone or something in order to be able to make sure that they're the right person for you. You want to look at the work they've done, the type of clients they have, the type of books that they're selling, and just make sure that that's really the right fit for you at the end of the day.
So here is another scenario. You are a subject matter expert and you want to write a nonfiction book. Let's say you're an expert in bird watching. Should you approach publishers before or after you write the book?
You know, there's no right or wrong answer there, is the way I look at it. You can approach the publishers before or you can approach them after. And are you the person that's going to write the book is the other question I have about that, because people that are subject experts may or may not be good writers and communicators at the end of the day. So I've co-authored books for a number of people over the years that are experts in their area. And I've been the person that's come alongside and written the book for them because maybe they're too busy to actually write a book, or they don't have the writing skills to be able to do that, or they don't have the time to be able to do it. So I've come along as the co-author or the ghostwriter in some cases to produce the book so that it does work for everybody at the end of the day.
Once several years ago, I was approached to ghostwrite something And I just couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to do it. You've ghostwritten a book or a few?
I've done a number of them, yeah, through the years, because it all depends on the circumstance. I mean, I worked with a high profile author that's on the radio and sold millions of books. And he approached me to ghostwrite his book for them. And so, sure, I did that. If the details line up, you're going to get paid properly, treated properly in the process. I think that's an okay process.
Yeah, it's a job.
Yeah.
I liked what you said about writing out a business plan for your book. I think it's important for all of us to do that, no matter what genre. I do that for my poetry books, which is barely applicable. But I want to get your opinion on what are the top three free book promotion activities?
Oh, the top three free promotion activities. Well, the one that everybody likes and that it can go rampant is word of mouth, that nobody really understands how that works. But telling people is a great way to do it. So that could be through a free email newsletter that you send out on a regular basis to people. I think blogging is still a good way to get your message out there. There's podcasting. I think all those are some of the top free ways that you can actually get your material out there.
What about social media?
You know, social media is good. I mean, publishers are always interested to see how your social media numbers are and your connections to readers. But I think they've pretty much proven out there that social media doesn't really sell books at the end of the day. What it does do is it's more of an exposure kind of thing, because they've pretty much proven out there that somebody has to hear about your book maybe a dozen times or more before they actually say, oh, that book proposes that sell book. I should buy that book. So it takes those 7, 8 to a dozen touches of a person before they realize that they could buy that book. And so that's sort of what social media is doing, is it's exposure for the book. And in your social media posts, you don't just send out stuff that says, buy my book, because nobody cares about that. What you do on your social media posts instead is you emphasize the benefits of what people are going to gain by reading your book. And then they go, oh, that's a reason that I should buy this book. And so you really want to be careful about how you use that social media stuff, but do use it, because those people are exposure and they can pass it along to other people, all those kinds of things. I do meet authors that say they have built their connection to their readers on Facebook, or they've built their connections on LinkedIn or YouTube or Instagram or any of those things. Well, in the business, we call those platforms rented platforms, because I don't control those platforms. As a matter of fact, I could knowingly or unknowingly violate their terms and get kicked off of those places tomorrow. So you want to make sure that you build your connections to your readers on something that you can control, such as your website, your blog, your newsletter, things that you actually have control over.
I love that. Yeah, build your platform where you have control. Emphasize the benefits of your book rather than, you know, what they can do for you, like buy your book or talk about my book. What about the publicist? Is it a good idea for an author to hire a publicist? We talked about free publicity, but this one would be paid.
Yeah, you know, publicists have their role as well in this process. Rick Frischman, who was known as America's publicist, would say that The only guarantee that most of these publicists will give you is that they will charge you every month. And so, you know, and typically, you know, a lot of these publicists, they'll charge $3,000 to $5,000 a month. So you could spend a lot of money on publicity if you're not careful. I mean, one of my authors here in Southern California at Morgan James has done a couple of books with us. She's a psychiatrist. And she told me the other day that she didn't think she could continue using this publicist that she's hired. She paid $50,000 during the last year to this publicist. And you can see how they can do that. If you're paying $3,000 to $5,000 a month, you go 10 months, that's your 50 grand right there. And I said, well, if you're not getting $50,000 worth of return on that investment, you probably shouldn't be doing that at the end of the day. So it doesn't have to cost you that much though, because there are publicists out there. You have to work to find these people, but that have really great connections that you don't have. And so that's the reason to hire them, because they will plug you into their network. So for example, I did a biography of Billy Graham that came out a few years ago. I hired a publicist for that, because this publicist had radio connections and all kinds of things that I didn't have. He booked over 50 interviews for me during the time that I was with him. And I paid him a flat fee for like a campaign over several months. So that was a good use of money, is the way I look at it. One of the radio stations that he plugged me into was, I was on the Janet Parshall radio show. It's called In the Market with Janet Parshall. It's from the Moody Broadcasting Network. Janet is on simultaneously 700 radio stations. And so can you imagine? You know, that's a huge,
huge
boost. Yeah. For you to be on something like that.
Yeah, at least three people will hear the show, right?
Three people will hear it. And the other thing that I always encourage my authors to do when they do radio or podcast or whatever, is I encourage them to get the recording afterwards. Then take that recording and store that recording on your own website. And then it doesn't disappear. Because I have authors sometimes that tell me, oh yeah, Terry, I tried that radio thing and it didn't work very well for me. I'm like, well, okay, did you get the recording? Did you put the recording on your own website? They said, no. Are you still using that recording? No. And I'm like, you should be, because I'm still using the live radio recordings that I did a number of years ago for my Billy Graham book. Because you can imagine, I mean, you record those sessions live, they'll sound live tomorrow, just like they did today. So why not keep using those as a tool to tell people about your book and the benefits and why they should be interested in what you've done?
Well, it goes back to what you said earlier about using platforms that you can control, you know, and having...
That's right.
The recording on your own website is something that's helpful, certainly.
And the author has to do something at the end of the day. I keep learning this lesson over and over, that there's only one person on the planet that I have any control over at all. And that's me. I mean, I can't control whether a bookstore is going to buy my book, whether a publisher is going to put my book in a certain bookstore. There's just a lot in this whole system that I can't control, but I can't control my part and what I'm going to do. And that's what I try to get up and do every day.
Well, what you can do, but also what you're willing to do.
That's right. And I've been willing to do all kinds of things through the years. I mean, I've done podcasts at midnight, because the person that's interviewing me is in India and it's 9 o'clock in the morning over there, you know. So you just have to figure out if you're willing to do what it takes in order to get it done.
A mentor of mine once said, personality sells books. Do you agree?
I think enthusiastic personality sells books. I agree with that because, I was talking to a publicist even last week about one or two of his authors who, when they get on the radio, they're just all monotone like this and they're not very enthusiastic. Well, that isn't going to help anything, So you do have to be enthusiastic and sort of rise to the occasion when you're being interviewed, when you're telling stories, so that indeed somebody wants to talk to you and continue to talk to you.
All this is outwards directed energy. How does one manage, the outward directed energy with the inward directed energy that is typically needed for writing?
Yeah, that's a great question. They've pretty much proven that most of us that are writers at the end of the day are introverts. And I put myself in that category as well. I mean, I would just as soon sit in the corner and read a book as opposed to get up in front of a bunch of people and talk. But I realize that getting up in front of people and talking is part of the gig. And so I put myself in those situations. I put myself on these radio shows like you and I are doing here because I know it's an important aspect of the work. And sure, it wears me out, after a while I'm pretty worn out from doing that, but I try to balance, give balance in my life so I have rest and I have times when I'm doing this kind of thing.
I admire very much how active you are on social media and how active you are on podcasts and how readily you give value to your audience. Seeing from the side, you hopefully, maybe, you're able to recharge very quickly. If so, please give us tips on recharging.
Oh, I don't know if I have tips on recharging or not. I just I love the work for one thing, and so that's what propels me to be involved in this work day in and day out. And it's really pretty simple. I'm in book publishing because books change people's lives, and I know that firsthand because when I was a sophomore at college, I got directed to go down to a little bookstore and buy, look at their cards and posters and buy, maybe I'd find a book that interested me. I wandered down there to this little bookstore and I bought this book called Jesus the Revolutionary. I thought, how in the world could Jesus be a revolutionary? And so I took that book back to my room. I read that book. It showed me a different side of Jesus than I'd ever seen before. About that time, some people invited me to this Jesus people gathering in downtown Bloomington, Indiana. I was going to Indiana University back then. They were all sitting on little scraps of carpets with little candles lit. But those people had something that I didn't have. And so I changed the direction of my life back then. I was studying to be a newspaper journalist. I was going to be a newspaper reporter, like at the Indianapolis Star or the Louisville Courier Journal or the Chicago Tribune or one of those places. Instead, I joined this group out of college called Wycliffe Bible Translators. And I trooped off to Guatemala, Central America. I worked on the Southwest Cachiquel New Testament. And so I changed the direction of my life back then because of reading a book. But I wandered back to my writing and that's where I am today. But I do it for the simple reason that books change people's lives.
That's true. Books have changed mine and everybody I know. Can you speak a little bit about giving away books and the benefit to an author to give away books?
Yeah, you want to give away books. I mean, at first, probably in my life, I was pretty stingy. I didn't really want to give away books, but I know that as you give books to other people, that gives them the opportunity to read them, to write reviews about it, to tell other people about it, to talk about it. So, yeah, I think it's a great tool because the book can go places that none of us can ever go, and it can influence people that maybe we'll never have the chance to talk to.
You know, once I heard about people whom I don't know recommending my books to other people whom I don't know. And I cannot tell you how happy that made me.
That is, it's amazing. So you want to give people the ability and the tools to pass that on easily to other people. So that's why on these blogs, there's these little buttons at the bottom that says share with others. And so that's a great thing to do on your blog or those kinds of social media posts, to be able to forward an email. All those kinds of things are great.
And what are good ways of getting into libraries?
You know, libraries are very important. There's over 9,000 libraries in the United States, and those guys have budgets to buy books. So, you know, there's a number of different things you can do. You can create a one sheet, for example, that has the information about your book. Give that to your friends, encourage them to go to their library and request your book. That's a simple thing that's free that anybody can do. I had a friend that I interviewed a while back that sold thousands of copies of his self-published book to libraries. And what he did, he went over all the details, what he did with this, but he basically looked online and found the list of these libraries. And so he would take an hour or two a day and call the reference librarian that controlled the books that they purchased, give that reference librarian a little pitch for why somebody should be interested in his book, take an order from that librarian, pack it up with an invoice and mail it to the library. I mean, he sold thousands of books doing that. I mean, hard work, yes. Consistent work, yes. But what a way to sell books. And nobody thinks about that kind of stuff.
Well, what we said a little bit earlier, what you can do and what you're willing to do, because in theory, all of us are able to do that, right? But how many of us would do cold calling every day to sell our own book? I mean, that is, it requires you to graduate to a whole different level.
It does, but it's just like the public speaking thing that we talked about and the energy that we've talked about. You can learn to do those things. It would take some effort and experimentation for you to figure it out, but you could certainly do it.
What about events? And I guess I come from the school of poetry, which says books are sold at events, and it's true. So that means you have to set up your own events and do this kind of legwork and get plugged into the reading series here and there. What about the other genres? How dependent are they on events?
You know, events can be lonely experiences, is what I would say. If authors aren't active at the event, I mean, if you're going to go to an event and just set up a table and sit behind it, you're probably not going to do very well at that type of event. But if you stand out in front of your table, have a little dish of candy to draw people to it, greet everybody that goes past, tell them about your book, tell them about the benefits of your book, hand them a little bookmark. All kinds of things like that. If you're active, then sure, you could sell books at events. A lot of authors sell books at book clubs and reading groups and things like that. Sure, you have to make a reading guide, for example, to draw people to your book, but then you can offer to Zoom into book clubs, meet the author. I mean, there are hundreds, thousands of these book clubs all over the country. And they're all choosing a book that those people in that book club are going to buy and they're going to read. That's another way to sell books.
I read both of your books that, you know, that you were so nice to send me. I appreciate it very much. Book Proposals That Sell and 10 Publishing Myths. I learned a lot from both of them, and I enjoyed the tone in the books and how they are usable, user-friendly, and actionable at the same time. Would you give us one of the secrets and one of the myths?
Yeah, 21 Secrets to Speed Your Success is the subtitle on Book Proposals That Sell. And it's been a while since I've looked at those 21 secrets, but there's a lot of detailed information. I wrote that book as a frustrated acquisitions editor. I was trying to get better submissions. It's the reason I was trying to do it, because, and I was trying to help authors understand that they do have to create a business plan, and they do have to do this work to really know how to put together a book proposal. It's hard. And I guess one of the secrets is that the author should make their own marketing plan, is the secret that I would give you on that particular book. And everybody thinks, well, gee, I thought the publisher is going to market my book. Yes, the publisher will market your book, but it's the author's marketing that really is what draws people to the bookstores to buy the book and carry it out of the bookstore. So it's a very important part of the process that the author make their own marketing plan.
Okay.
Somebody can get my book proposal book, by the way, for free. You can get the whole book for free. All you do is you go to bookproposals.ws, bookproposals.ws. And that's a site that I have set up where they can get my book, the whole book, for free. You know why I do that? I do that because one of the things we've learned at Morgan James is that if you go over there and buy and get my book, my ebook for free, start to read that ebook, there is a high probability you're going to turn and buy the print copy of the book. So by giving away a free ebook version of my book, I really lose nothing. Instead, I'm driving print book sales. And that's something that any author listening to us could do with their own book as well. Now, for 10 Publishing Myths, I wrote that book because I wanted authors to have more realistic expectations as far as what should happen with their book, because there's so much of the book publishing process that's outside of our control as an author. But I really tried to emphasize in this book the things that authors could take control over and do throughout the book. So one of the myths in 10 Publishing Myths is that I will make a lot of money with my book. That's probably the number one book, one thing that authors believe. I don't care whether they've self-published or whether with one of the big five publishers, they all believe that they're going to make money with their books. That may happen for you, but the thing that really I try to emphasize is that you will gain your authority over the topic. You'll open up doors, speaking opportunities, all kinds of great things happen from having a book. So your reasons you want to do it is more than just making money per se. And I want people to get my 10 Publishing Myths book. I've tried to make it easy for people to get it. All they have to do is go to a website I have set up called publishingoffer.com. publishingoffer.com. There they can get my book for only $10. That includes the shipping, along with over $200 worth of bonuses. Now, one of the bonuses is this audio that I was telling you about, the author that's selling his books to public libraries. Gives all the details about how he did that kind of thing. So I think that's a great value for people to get that for only $10, to get my print book that way.
Is there a formula for a book to become a bestseller?
You know, I don't know that there is a formula per se, because if there was, every book would follow the formula and become a bestseller. There are practices that every author can do to make your book sell. at the end of the day. The story I tell about that is I heard from Mark Victor Hansen and Jack Canfield, the co-authors on Chicken Soup for the Soul. Everybody forgets that they were rejected over 160 times before they finally found a publisher to publish their book in Florida. Now, they told their publisher they were going to sell 1 million copies in the first year. And their publisher laughed at them because they'd never sold 1 million copies of anything. They thought that was a ridiculous idea. It took them 1.5 years to sell their first 1 million copies. And now Chicken Soup for the Soul is one of the most prolific series of books in the English language out there. How did they do it? They practiced what they call the rule of five. They got up every day and they did five things to be telling people about their book. They did a radio show, a podcast, a magazine article, a guest blog post, a newspaper article. I mean, there are dozens of things that you can do every day to be telling people about their book. But the fact that they did it consistently over and over is really what makes the difference.
And what are you writing these days, Terry?
You know, I'm not writing a lot. I am keeping my blog going. I've been blogging every week since 2004, and I have over 1,700 entries in my blog. So I have about 400 people that receive my blog on email every Monday, and that's a consistent thing that I do. I write a newsletter once a week. I guest blog for other people. I don't currently have a book project that I'm working on, but I'm working with a lot of other authors on their books to try to get those books contracted and then published. So I do a lot of writing, but it's not turning into a book at the moment.
Terry, I appreciate you coming on my podcast and talking to us about writing and publishing and agents and promotion. And the listeners of Accents, you heard how you can get Terry's books. And I hope you can hear some of his advice. I have taken notes and I plan to do a few of those things because I am willing.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Appreciate this.